And I am Donna Hawkes. I'm your host for this program, and we're talking about issues of domestic and sexual violence. And our guest this evening, as we have had before, is Richard Milda. And what we're going to be talking about this evening is how sexual violence, sexual assault, may figure into a relationship that is an abusive relationship. And so Richard is the co-facilitator for the men's re-education group that's held here in Lake Andes every Wednesday evening now. It used to be Thursday evening, and now it's Wednesday evenings from 5:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. And his co-facilitator is Lynn Archambault. And so Richard is going to be talking with us throughout the year on different issues that are relevant to us when we are experiencing an abusive relationship. So I'd like to welcome Richard. Thank you, Richard, for being with us this evening.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
And Richard, of course, has a lot of experience in this field and has been doing this kind of work for over eight years. Yeah, 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
8 years now. And some of you across the state of South Dakota, I'm sure, know Richard through this work, or know Richard through the powwow circuit. Richard is a dancer and a champion dancer many times.
Oh, thank you.
So when you see him, don't be afraid to go up and shake hands and let him know if you have heard one of our programs. So tonight, Richard, I would like you to address sexual assault within an abusive relationship and how that figures in. Of course, we're all aware of the physical violence, which is the most obvious, you know, with bruises or broken bones or what have you. We've talked in the past about intimidation and some other tactics, but tonight I'd like you to focus on sexual violence within a relationship, an intimate relationship.
Sure. I think, first of all, I want to say, again, thank you for having me, Donna, and say hello to all the listeners out there in Cyberland. And I want to say a special hello to my children and my wife, Tawa, who are listening on the internet. I would like to say, first of all, that you know, this is an area, Donna, that's not really talked about, and because it's such a private issue. I mean, there's such a no-talk rule around, you know, sexual violence, sexual abuse, mm-hmm. incest, as it is, you know, and yet, you know, those of us who work in the field of creating, you know, healthy changes and know how common this is and how much we do talk about it and how much we help, you know, individuals process and debrief and facilitate to other kinds of help that they may need to heal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know, we talk about the physical abuse, and even that is getting it's not enough is not being done about it, and I would be very safe to say that I feel very comfortable saying that, Donna, most of, I know, if not all the men that I've worked with who have chosen to use physical violence to control their partner, and their tactics that we use to control our partner, that there is sexual violence there too.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, one size doesn't fit all. I think there is a continuum of severity in terms of what do we do when we're not getting consent in the marital bed or the relationship where we're intimate partners. And I think the key word is getting consent, having consent, you know, both partners are
saying, yes, this is what we want to do.
Yes, exactly. And that's where the act of the sexual encounter is, both individuals are wanting to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a theory, Donna, that this work first started looking at sexual interactions with couples in, I think it was in about in the 70s. I think her name was Linda Brown, had the theory of this thing they called the cycle of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Not the cycle where it's son learned from father and his father learned from his father. The cycle of violence where there was a honeymoon period, and then it started off with conflict, and that escalated into arguments, and the arguments escalated into a fight, and then the fight escalated into led to the physical abuse of a fight, and that varied from couple to couple on the intensity of the violence used. And then after the fight, then there was the makeup,
the honeymoon period.
Mm-hmm. Right. When that was first looked at, I think it was really powerful when domestic violence as we know it today, the grassroots movement took a look at that piece and said, and women saying and having the courage to say, well, you know, that honeymoon period was when I was, you know, I had a lot of fear going on, you know, and I was only doing that because it stopped the violence. The makeup sex was just, you know, a piece that I had to do to maintain some sort of, you know, way to keep him happy when he was getting his physical needs met, you know, and so forth. I wasn't feeling anything other than, you know, I can't wait for this to be done, and then so he can fall asleep or pass out or whatever, so when we wake up, there's no more fighting, and that's what that cycle of violence that was theorized, and then we really took a look at it. And so, you know, I think it was an important piece in our business of domestic violence and sexual violence, that we need to take a look at, and we need to continue to take a look at and talk about, you know, physical abuse and sexual abuse and the hurts that we do, that, you know, our ancestors didn't even have in their thinking, you know, because that's not how we treated each other.
Mm-hmm. There was much more of a behaviors in place around all kinds of things, like the value of a human life.
Well, not only that, the value of a woman's human life, that's sacred. And our ancestors knew that the sex had a lot of power. It was wakan. It was very powerful, you know, that the effects that it had on individuals, the life that could be created with sex, you know, and it had a different teaching behind it than we do today. Today, what, sex is used to sell things, sell cars, credit cards, cell phones. It's, you know, it's used to exploit it, to you know, to do a lot of things that our ancestors didn't have in their thinking to use as, you know, to get whatever wants and needs needed to be met, not to sell things.
Right. So, you know, as you were saying, that the act of being sexually, physically intimate with one another is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. However, what happens when you were talking about, it can be a beautiful thing. What you were talking about in an abusive relationship and the supposed honeymoon period, which really, in fact, was non-existent, and we don't necessarily... I want to thank you for bringing that up, because sometimes that can be a misnomer, you know, this honeymoon period, and I'd like for you to talk more about that regarding how sex is used as a way to control the woman. And the reason we're talking about this is because it's so hard for people to even say sex a lot of times, mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. a serious way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's real easy for us to joke around about it and carry on about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about these things in a real serious way, people become uncomfortable because we've been so conditioned to be uncomfortable around issues of sex. And so when we start talking about issues of sex and